pilgrims this morning. There was a calendar of events and birthdays for the month of April. Everybody's whose name is on here, happy birthday from Pastor Kay. Amen. Happy birthday. May God bless you and may you make it to your day. If today is not your day, you might not make it. So you give God the praise while you have a chance. Amen. Moving right along. If you will turn with us to the book of Exodus. A word that you've already heard this morning. We'd like to share again several passages. Exodus, the 12th chapter. If you have a Bible, you'd like to read along and keep up this morning, turn to Exodus. I'm going to need you to walk with me this morning. Initially, I was going to read 1 through 8, 12 and 13, and 21 through 24, but since Reverend Jeter's already read 1 through 8, I will read 1 through 3. I'm going to pick up at 12 and 13, pick up at 21, and that's why I say I need you to walk with me. Supporting scripture this morning would be Ephesians 1 and 7. Exodus 12, beginning at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th month of this day, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your house to smite you. Amen. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. Amen. Ephesians 1 and 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And the blood shall be to you for a token unto the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. On the basis of those verses this morning, I'd like to propose a question to you. Do you have your blood for the Passover? Do you have your blood for the Passover? I got mine. Do you have your blood for the Passover? Another day's journey. Yesterday has come and gone. You can't change your yesterday, but you can do something about your today. For David said, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm glad that there are saints in the house this morning that don't mind rejoicing. I'm glad that there's somebody that don't mind telling God, thank you. I'm glad this morning that somebody realizes that he is a supplier of all of our needs. When I began to think how good God has been, I can't help but tell God, thank you. The blood is yet still running warm in my veins. Woke us all up this morning. Started us all on another day's journey. Somebody got up in commitment this morning saying, Lord, just thank you for another day. Somebody got up this morning and said, Lord, forgive me for what I done last night. But God, I thank you that you're with me right now. We serve a mighty God this morning. And there's nothing wrong with praising him and lifting up his holy name for all of his goodness and his mercy. I don't know about you, but all year long, all these 4 months that have already come by, God has always been right there. With all this going on in the world, all of the sickness and all the heartache and the high prices and the economical situation, God is still good. And he's going to be exactly where he said. He said, I'll never leave you, neither will I forsake you. There might be some things this morning that you had hoped to get done by now. And it seemed like out of all of your doings, out of all of your planning, out of all of your strategies, things are just not coming to pass. And you find yourself going back to the drawing board. But I come to remind you that if you trust in the power of God, God will come in his own time. God has a way this morning that he can take his mighty hand and God can take some things that he would transform even your way of thinking. And as you get into that transition into being what God wants you to be, you will find that you too will have some good news. Hallelujah, Jesus. It's good news when we can tell somebody that he lives. It's good news when you can tell somebody that I'm favored of a mighty God. And right now we are actually making preparations for the Passover. I know that there are many Christians that from Ash Wednesday that gave up many things. And all over the world they fast and they are giving up things, preparing themselves for the celebration of the Passover. But I wonder this morning, do we really know and understand the meaning of the Passover? We got to understand that the Passover is very important to us as believers of Jesus the Christ. And just like the children of Israel, we are bound by sin and circumstances, and we need the redemptive power of God. The Passover was the first of three great festivals of the Israelite people. It was a Jewish festival that referred to the sacrifice of a lamb in Egypt when the children of Israel were slaves. And they would take this lamb and kill the lamb, and the blood they would smear on the doorpost as a signal to God that when he passed over in the night to destroy the firstborn, that he would pass over their house. The Passover was observed on the 14th day of the first month to commemorate their departure from Egypt in such a haste that they didn't even have time to prepare the food properly. So that's why they had the unleavened bread, was because they didn't have time to put in yeast. They didn't have time to put in the other ingredients to make it taste like it normally would taste, but they had to grab everything and leave in a haste. And that last meal that they ate before they left, they used what they called unleavened bread. And the reason why is just what I said. They didn't have time for preparation. So they made what I like to call hoe cakes. Any of us from the old school where we had them mamas that make biscuits, and you know when you got a little dough left, cat, and you just don't have enough to make a lot of biscuits, so you just make a whole cake. Anybody in here know anything about a whole cake? Whole cake eaters, hold up your hand.
And anybody know that whole cake seemed to be a little crusty? It don't seem to have as much dough on the inside. Somebody want the biscuit. I want a piece of the whole cake. See, I might destroy a biscuit. I take the biscuit and tear it apart and pull the middle out. You take a whole cake? Hallelujah, Jesus. Only time I didn't like whole cake was when there wasn't nothing but molasses. Okay, good dipping pinto bean juice. Whole cake and molasses and butter just don't get it. But it did. We might be choosy now. But I can remember when we ate what they said, eat or you don't eat. And when they said you don't eat, they meant you don't eat. You'll get hungry enough to eat you some molasses. That's why we got to putting that butter in and then stirring it up and made it look better, made it taste a little bit better. You know how it get light brown instead of all dark? Oh, yeah, I know that. There's some molasses eaters in the house. Look where he brought us from. How many of you got a jar of molasses at home right now? See how it dwindled? Y'all love molasses. I wouldn't buy us no molasses no more. Serious note. Get back. I thank God that I'm old enough to remember. And I'm old enough to have gone through those times. Because those are the things that can hit home with a lot of God's people. And if you are in an area, if you are in the midst of a people and nobody remember whole cake, nobody remember molasses, a whole lot of folk dead and gone. So we've had a little human, we've laughed, but we are blessed that we got so many people in here that know what it was to where we come from and where we are right now. So now that you see how blessed you are, look at the blessed people of Israel, how that they had to take advantage of what they had. So they took the whole cake, unleavened bread, and that's what they ate. In that meal. In the New Testament times, the large groups gathered in Jerusalem to observe the annual Passover. And today and then, the blood of Jesus was the ultimate Passover sacrifice. It was his blood that redeemed all of us this morning. But do you have your blood for the Passover? Now, blood is the red fluid circulated through the body. By the action of the blood and by the action of the heart, it is distributing oxygen and nutrients to all the organs, and it carries away waste. When we look at blood in the Bible, on many occasions, it refers to the blood of an animal. Because it talks about the sacrifice for the atonement of sins. And then we hear about the blood of Jesus, which refers to his sacrificial death on the cross, where he shed his blood for all mankind's sins. We are washed in the blood of the Lamb. The blood is so important to us this morning. Not only is it important to us physically, but it's important to us spiritually. Physically, without the blood, you're going to die. Spiritually, without the blood, you dead, and there is no living again. The blood. We get caught up in prejudice and judging one another, this, that, and the other, and all of this wrong and that wrong. All unrighteousness is sin. But it was the blood that was able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Someone said it was the precious blood of Jesus. And what makes it so precious? Think about your own blood. Anybody in here ever been cut? Ironically, when I was calling myself getting this message together, and I decided that I needed some blood for an illustration. Of course, I wasn't planning on using my own. But as I opened up a pack this morning, lo and behold, I took a knife and cut my finger. I said, Lord, I wasn't talking about that blood. I bought some dye last night. If it wasn't for the Band-Aid, it might still be bleeding. Can't button a white shirt with blood on your finger. So what I did, cooks know that you can take some food coloring. Got me a little water and put it in here to represent the blood. Oh, Lord, I'm so glad that that's that blood and not my blood. Anybody in here got this much blood you want to give up this morning? What if Jesus had not died? How many goats and lambs do you see running around in Lexington? So where are you going to get some blood for your sacrifice? When God comes through, if you want God to pass over, then you need some blood. So you can smear it on your doorpost so that you can be saved. When we look in the Word of God, the Bible say the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. And he said, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Talking to the believers, talking to the Jewish believers. He said, speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. So they needed a lamb for the blood so they could have that blood as a sacrifice and then use the blood to mark the doorposts. If you did not have any blood on the doorpost, then of course the firstborn in your house were going to be destroyed. The Bible says, if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house, according to the number of souls, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. So now that lets us also know that even in the days of old, in the Old Testament time, the neighbors learned how to work together. What you got, I got. And we got to work together to do what we need to do for the Lord. If I'm going to be saved and John's house is not large enough to have it, then I'm going to pull John them in with me and we're going to make a sacrifice. It's in the Bible. The Bible says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats. If you keep it until the 14th day of the same month, the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill in the evening. They shall take the blood, strike it on the two side posts of the upper door of the post of the house, wherein they shall eat. Look here. Sometimes we get all caught up into being so religious and we think we know everything. And folk running around saying what you can't eat and you can't eat meat. Well, somebody done told you a lie. The Bible says, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. This was a feast for the Passover. And in this feast, the whole animal was put on the fire. Big old barbecue. Because it's going to be a feast. I got to stay where I'm at. Ooh, I wanted to go somewhere, but I got to stay where I'm at. The Bible says, eat not of it raw, but roast it with fire. Keep the head with his legs and keep it all together. Don't let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, it shall be burnt with fire. So in other words, when you make this feast, eat everything you can eat. Because these leftovers ain't going to be no good. Thus shall ye eat it. With your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. In other words, you better eat, getting ready to go. You heard folks say, I don't want to eat and leave. On this day, child, if you were at this feast, it's time to eat and it's time to go. It said, don't you know how I do on Sunday evening? I do all my running. I go and get my food, and then I get home and I get comfortable and I sit down and then I eat. The Bible say right here, don't be taking your shoes off. Have everything in your hand. Get ready to go. When you got to leave in a haste, you ain't got time enough to be worrying about foolish things. If somebody said the Lord is coming, you better be ready to go. The Bible says, you shall eat in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. If you ever thought about eating fast, that's a good time to eat fast. Do you three or four chews and swallow and keep on stepping. As you run in haste, getting away from that bondage that you were in, you can run it down and get rid of the indigestion, but you get away from that. Why? He told Moses and Aaron to tell the congregation of people this because he was going to pass through the land of Egypt on that night. And he was going to smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and execute judgment because he is the Lord. You might not want to do what I say, but he is the Lord. And if you don't want to do what he says, shame on you. The Bible says, and the blood shall be to you for a token unto the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. The Bible said when he see the blood. My question to you is, do you have your blood? If you don't have your blood this morning, you're in danger of being destroyed. Moses called for the elders of Israel. He said, draw out all of you and take a lamb according to your family and let's kill him for the Passover. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin. And when you dip it in the blood, I want you to take it and go and stay in the house all night long. See, there's a time that you got to follow directions. There's a time you got to be obedient to do what God say do. The Lord said on that night when he was going to pass through Egypt that he was going to destroy all of the firstborn. But if you were one of the ones that had the blood on your house, he passed over you and everybody in the house would be saved. But if you did not have the blood, you were in jeopardy of being destroyed and killed. But I stopped by to tell somebody this morning that if you got the power of Jesus, then you ought to be able to have your blood. I heard somebody say this morning that if I trust the power of the Almighty God, the Lord will make a way out of no way. I stopped by to ask Faust Chapel a question. Do you have your blood? Hallelujah for the Passover. We're getting ready for the Easter season. We're already in the Passover season. And I don't know whether you got your feast ready or not, but you better go and get that ham. You better get those potatoes for that potato salad. But before you get all of that fried chicken, you better run somewhere and find you some blood, because you're going to need some blood. Whenever they had the blood of the Passover, it led to the unleavened bread. And when you think about the unleavened bread, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am he, and if you eat of me, you'll never get hungry. So I stopped by to tell you this morning, if you don't have your blood, I can tell you where you can get some blood. For in the name of Jesus, there is blood in his name. For in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Paul said, if we got the blood of the Lamb, that he hath forgiven us of all of our sins, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus the Christ. When I think about the blood of Jesus and all that the Lord God has done, I can't help but tell God thank you. Anybody in the house this morning, do you have your blood? If you got your blood, come on and go with me. We got to smear the blood over the doorstop, over the signpost, and let the Lord know whose side we on. I'm glad this morning that I know something about the blood that I'm talking about. It's not red food dye. The blood that I'm talking about, it's not my human blood, but the blood I'm talking about, it is the blood of the Lamb. What can wash away the sins of all mankind? Somebody say, nothing but the blood. Anybody got the blood? Do you have your blood this morning? It's because of that blood that we eat the bread and the wine. And the Bible said, from one generation to the next generation, that forever and forever we shall observe this ordinance as long as they be obedient to God. I thank God this morning. I thank God this morning that it was the blood I had that somebody said that by his stripes we are healed. So when you think about Jesus hanging there on Calvary's Hill, and they crip him in the side, and the blood and water came streaming down. That blood washed me, Charles. That blood cleansed me. That blood lift me up, turned me around, made everything all right. That blood is red as crimson, but yet it'll wash you white as snow. Woo! Do you have your blood for the Passover? I come to tell you that if you don't have it, it's easy to acquire it. For it is belief in the power of Jesus the Christ. It's his blood that makes the difference. Oh, when I think of Jesus, when I think of even our holy audience, as we eat of this bread, he is our Passover. He is our life. He is our lily of the valley, our bright and morning star. He's our food when we get hungry, our water when we are thirsty. He's everything that we need. Hallelujah. Anybody in here love Jesus? Anybody love Jesus? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Are you thankful for the blood? Something about that blood. The blood shall never, ever lose its power. For the blood of Jesus. There's power in that blood. Oh, I thank God for his blood. Thank you, Jesus. Do you have your blood for the Passover? If and only I would have to be convinced that the Lord himself said, I want your blood. Then I'll cut two or three fingers if I know God said it. But don't you come running telling me that God told you to tell me to cut my finger. God got to talk to me about that. There's some things that you don't let folk tell you what God said. You can hear it. Be respectful. Pray about it. Wait on God. I'm not saying God don't send you a messenger, because he does. But try the Spirit by the Spirit. And everything to knock on your door is not of God. If it's God, you know it. Even if you close the door in their face, it'll start bothering your spirit. Until there's something about whoever it was. Maybe I better get back in contact with them, because I might have missed my blessing. Sometimes when you are so hard and you so closed in, you can miss your blessing. Be able to allow the Spirit of the Almighty God to reach you.